This hour of the Jason Rant Show is brought to you by the Brian Suits Morning Show. Heard at weekdays 6 to 9 right here on KTTH. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? National.
The Buffalo mass shooter, Peyton Gendron, is very clearly mentally ill. There doesn't seem to really be a doubt about it, although we are supposed to say alleged, so we'll say alleged this one time. The alleged mass shooter appears to be mentally ill, and he appears to have been a very clear threat from the beginning of this behavior that should have, and did at least at the time, raise significant red flags. This is a guy who was hospitalized for a mental health evaluation for over a day just last June because he was making generalized threats as a high schooler. He did a high school project on murder suicides. It seems pretty clear that when you take a dive into what this guy allegedly engaged in the past, we have someone with a mental health issue. What that is exactly, we don't know. Certainly not yet, but he seems to have been suffering from severe mental illness in addition to being just a white supremacist, a bigot. He was an anti-Semite. This is a bad guy. Unfortunately, what we see time and time again, we see mentally unfit people committing crimes, and rather talking about that issue, and rather than having that conversation, what do? Depending on the circumstances, what we hear is either that it's guns are to blame or Fox News. It used to be Trump, but Trump's no longer president, so we can take that one off. And what we're seeing here is that they're leaning more into the Fox News blame than the gun blame. But again, that's because Fox News is number one, Tucker Carlson is number one, so they'll pretend that it was Tucker Carlson himself who went out there and committed these crimes. Because did you know he talked about this one theory one time, even though it wasn't actually the theory that he talked about, but we're going to pretend because we got this new New York Times story making the claim, and we're supposed to believe that the MSNBC contributor who wrote it was coming from a place of good faith and not because they want to destroy Fox News because they simply do not like that it's number one. They simply do not like the content that it pushes. Rather than focus on the clear connection to this country's failure in addressing mental health issues, we're going to hear lecture after lecture after lecture about rhetoric, about conspiracies, from the same exact people who call their political opponents Nazis and fascists, from the same people who are still making claims about Trump and Russia. Those are the people who are now involved in the lecturing. We have people like Anna Navarro, who used to pretend to be a Republican. She's on The View. She calls out Tucker Carlson and Republicans because they are to blame.
Yeah. Tucker Carlson mentioned the great replacement theory or some version of that.
Okay, so real quickly, you can already hear she started to make a claim. He said the great replacement theory, which is a conspiracy suggesting that there is a purposeful sort of the part of the replacement theory is that people are purposely allowing folks who are non-white or non-American to give birth to replace the demographic of white people in this country with the intent of winning elections. Now, is that tangential to what's actually going on, which is very clearly a change in demographics because of immigration? Yeah, it's tangential. One is a conspiracy. One is just a fact. What is happening right now at the border? Is it effectively open or closed? Any ideas? Any guesses? Oh, open, yeah. I saw you mouth the answer.
I did.
You didn't weirdly turn on your microphone, but that's okay.
My hands are busy.
It's pretty open. And when you have millions of people streaming into this country, does that change the demographic of this country? Yeah, of course. It 100% does. Is there a belief amongst many Republicans and many Democrats that that can be beneficial to the Democratic Party? Yes. How do I know that? Because I saw that written in CNN, NPR, Washington Post, New York Times many, many, many years ago, when it wasn't controversial to make those statements because it wasn't a statement made by Republicans. Now, is that the same as the great replacement theory? No, it's not. Are people pretending it's the same? Yes, they are. Am I talking about Anna Navarro?
Mm-hmm. More than 400 times on his show since 2016.
Not true. That's coming from a New York Times. Over 400 times he's mentioned this theory. No, he hasn't. You mean he's talking about the demographic shifts? That's true. Is that the same? No. Why do they say it's the same? Who does it benefit? Democrats. Because this is a political piece of analysis that has nothing to do with the actual victims. This is completely disconnected from the victims.
According to the New York Times, Elise Stefanik bought ads on Facebook. And it's not just them. It's other hosts of Fox News. No. It's other Republican leaders. And they need to be called out. And listen, if you are an advertiser advertising on that station, you are part of the problem.
You are part of the problem. We need to destroy Fox News, which is not different from any of the rhetoric that they've used for the last several years. It's almost as if this has nothing to do with the actual gun violence, the victims, and has everything to do with a political agenda. And then you've got people like Bakari Sellers from CNN talking about how this mass shooting is the epitome of what this country stands for.
We have to look a lot deeper than that because, one, this is not an issue of both sides. This is not an issue of, well, this is just political talk. This theory is just like another theory, this or that. No, we're talking about racism. We're talking about this country's original sin. And what happens, and the tragedy in this is that it's a cycle. This is who America is. We have this racist attack. We have outrage. We have thoughts and prayers. We have political back and forth. And then we have an entire cycle where it happens over and over and over again. And nobody does anything about it.
You know what happens over and over and over again? The same talking point over and over and over again. So let's talk about an actual cycle that nobody's talking about. Because Bakari Sellers talks about this all the time. In fact, when you say we have the cycle where this happens over and over and over again, and in the same breath say nobody's talking about it, kind of conflicts with its own message. So let's talk about an actual cycle that is happening over and over and over again. And the thing that's happening over and over and over again? Violence followed by silence. And no, I don't mean silence is violence, which is a left-wing talking point. What's a story you don't hear on CNN almost ever, or MSNBC, or in the New York Times, or in the Washington Post, or in the Seattle Times, which covers national stories? Guess what happened over the weekend in Chicago? Oh, yes, the same thing that always happens in Chicago, whether it's a weekend or a weekday. A whole bunch of people get shot, and a whole bunch of people get killed. And the vast majority of them are black. But remember, hashtag Black Lives Matter. Five people were shot to death over the weekend, including a 16-year-old boy and a 17-year-old boy. 30-plus others were injured by gunshots. Now, those stories happen every single day in Chicago. Every single day. And it's gotten so bad that Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, had to announce this today.
Right now in Chicago, the curfew for young people is 11 p.m. on the weekends. And this is, as I said, been in place for several decades. We're changing that. Today, I'm signing an executive order to move that curfew back on weekends to 10 p.m. And I'm urging parents, guardians, and responsible adults in the lives of children to make sure that you know what the rules are and that you make a plan with your children and young people to make sure that they safely abide by this curfew that's been in effect for a very long time.
Push aside today's news, because you would say, reasonably so, I think, that the weekend's mass shooting will take the majority of the content airtime. I agree with that. Do you ever hear CNN cover the shootings that happen every single day in Chicago outside of today? Have you? I haven't. We monitor CNN. We monitor MSNBC the same way I monitor the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Seattle Times. We monitor it. That's where we go to see what they're covering. Why is it that they don't talk about that ever? They're telling us that they care about gunshot victims. For the past year, with a very few exceptions, I've been on the Faulkner Focus every single week. And I talk about innocent Americans being murdered during this crime surge. I've been on with them 60 times, 60 past weeks. The only time I wasn't on the Faulkner Focus in the last year and a half was during the start of the Russian war in Ukraine. But outside of that, with very few exceptions, I'm talking about these crime stories every single week. I do it on Fox News at night. I do it on Varney and Company. Almost those types of stories, almost every single week. I was just on Waters World or Waters Primetime last Friday talking about crime here in Washington State. I cover this every single week, sometimes multiple times a week on Fox News. CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times almost entirely ignore every single one of these stories. In fact, they tell us that the crime wave isn't really happening. Now, of course, they have to walk that back because they realize that people aren't as stupid as they think. But they never cover these stories. They only cover gun violence when it is politically helpful to the Democratic Party. They absolutely can and should cover what happened in Buffalo. There is no doubt. They should cover what happened at the church. They're not really talking too much about that now that we know that the shooter is Chinese. Not really talking about that anymore. They should be. They should absolutely be talking about what's going on in Buffalo. They should also be talking about the daily murders that happened in Chicago, that happened in Atlanta and in D.C. But they don't because the coverage hurts the Democrat mayors who run those cities. They don't because it gets in the way of their talking points about gun violence and how we need more gun laws. What, to be like Chicago or Atlanta or D.C. or New York City? Now, does the coverage on Fox News get political? Yes, sometimes, because we're talking about politicians and policies. But we are told that Fox News doesn't care. Fox News is the only network that's actually covering the stories every single day. CNN isn't. MSNBC isn't. So please, why don't you pull back just a little bit? Never mind. They're not going to pull back on any of this over-the-top soapbox coverage. Because remember, they're better than you. They know more than you. They care about people more than you. Except only when it happens to be when a white supremacist is involved. Because we have this huge white supremacist problem. In fact, these mass murders happen every single day. You know the shooter in the California church? White supremacist. That, according to a Seattle teacher, a math teacher who decided to discuss this in her classroom today. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. I will be on the Faulkner Focus, by the way, tomorrow morning, talking about, guess what? Crime. Tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour. If you want to watch it, please do. If you don't want to watch it live, because you're maybe in the car listening to the Brian Suits Show, kudos, you made the right choice, I'll be honest. Because I post the video up at youtube.com/Jason Mance. Push the button.
What's trending in the classroom?
So, elementary school in Issaquah, Sunset Elementary, decided to cancel classes today and tomorrow because of a staffing issue, which is odd because it's totally, completely, overwhelmingly vaccinated staff caught COVID and now they're out and they don't have enough subs. Remember that whole thing about the vaccine mandate? Remember the vaccine mandate? Remember?
Say, what was that one more time?
The COVID vaccine mandate.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I just need you to say it 7 times.
Yeah. Remember when they said we have to do this so we can stop the spread of COVID?
Yeah, they did say that.
You remember how they got rid of teachers who refused to get the vaccine or simply refused to turn over their paperwork?
Yep.
Weird. But they did it for the safety and well-being of everybody, especially the kids who are not impacted by COVID almost at all. But that's why they did it. But
safety.
Again, safety first. We're doing it so we can stop the spread. Stop the spread. It'll even stop different COVID variants, like the Batu virus from starting, which, well, maybe that's a bad example because that came after all the people got vaccinated. So that's the staff that's out.
Oh.
Because of COVID.
All the vaccinated ones.
Yeah, all the vaccinated staff somehow managed to end up getting COVID, or many of them did, to the point where they don't have enough substitutes. And even if they did, those substitutes might be out. Why? Say COVID.
COVID, Jason.
Which is weird. What do they have in common with the teachers?
They are vaccinated.
Oh, it's so weird how all of this is working. It's almost like we created a staffing nightmare for no reason whatsoever and refused to acknowledge that's what happened. It's odd how that works. Huh. Am I the only one? Okay. I mean, I don't want to get in the way of a good talking point coming from the Democrats because, you know, I do like to mock it, but it feels like maybe the folks should maybe step back in King County or Snohomish County or Pierce County or just the state of Washington and say, we should not have done that.
You want them to backtrack on something?
My bad. I know. Push the button.
What's trending? Antifa.
Yeah, limp Antifa has been relegated to basically providing fake security and traffic control at rallies. About 5,000 people or so turned up at Cal Anderson Park to support abortion. I was told by a press release ahead of the rally that there would be tens of thousands of people. Tens of thousands. That's like more than 10,000 tens. That means at least 20,000. It was about 5,000. Antifa burned flags to the cheers of the anti-American crowd. Yeah. Yeah. You burn it. You burn it good. Yeah. But even that flaccid display isn't what it used to be. This one was just kind of boring. They couldn't get up the strength to do much more than this impotent display. It's actually kind of alarming. They've gotten soft, Antifa. They've gotten soft. Now they don't really do much. They're not effective at moving the conversation along, at inspiring the conversation. None of it. Now, some of it is due to dysfunction. Dysfunction in organizing. You'd think that they could, I don't know, erect a meaningful organizational structure at this point because they've been doing it for so long. But no, they still haven't. In large part, it's because some of them had to move with their parents who left Seattle because of the rise in crime, ironically, and the cost of living. They moved to different homes that are a little bit too far for them to get to Seattle easily because obviously they don't drive. They walk and they take the bus, and sometimes they take scooters. But if you've moved from Seattle to Everett, it's a little bit more of a commute than you can handle on that scooter. So they weren't really very good at maintaining their level of, and let's be clear, they were very threatening for the BLM riots, peaceful protests. But they're kind of just done. Right now they're done. Part of it is because it's hard to justify violence at this point. They think they can justify violence, but it's not like abortion is under threat here in Washington State. It's not. It will never be. It's not at all under threat. So what are you going to do? It's why only 5,000 people showed up. Got a whole bunch more for the Women's March after Trump got elected. We're going to get to a Handmaid's Tale. Ironically, we're going to now get to a Handmaid's Tale under Biden administration. I'm just throwing that out there. So they were there. They tried to drown out some pro-life activists who were trying to speak. We kind of, that's what they do. Oh, they're just so cool. And depending on where you are, you're always going to find a crazy. But man, it feels like there's more crazy in this group than there used to be. I remember at a time where we were told, and people still sometimes use this line, they don't mean it, abortion is very serious. And any woman who takes this takes it with a solemn tone and feel blah, blah, blah. They don't actually believe that. Here's one pro-abortion woman. And in this case, I think we can say pro-murder. In this, am I crazy on this one?
No, you're not crazy.
This is pro-murder. Speaking to Live Action on Twitter.
Believe in abortion after birth? Would you support that?
After
birth. I believe in whatever the woman wants to choose to do.
Okay, whatever the woman wants to choose to do. I can't say. She's from New York, but this is in L.A. Now, is it possible? Because it's kind of loud. Maybe she didn't hear the question. It's possible, right?
Yeah, maybe she's just thinking, you know. It's
totally fair.
She knows the question before it's even asked.
Totally fair, so let's listen in for the context.
It's her choice. At any point
of the child's life?
At any point of the lady's life, that's her choice
kill another person's body.
It's going to always be her choice.
Always.
Even after the baby's born.
It's always her choice.
Oh, my God.
So if they're 2 years old.
It's always her choice.
I can kill my two-year-old.
It's a woman's right to choose.
To kill their child at any point.
It's a woman's right to choose.
Okay, that's called murder by any standard. Even the pro-choice standard, most pro-choice people, 99.9% of them, she's in the 0.1%, would call that just flat-out murder. That's not abortion anymore. That's not even, that's just murder. That's first-degree murder.
Super late term.
My God. I mean, you can't even argue that this was taken out of context or she just didn't hear the question. I mean, we literally drew it out for her. And she couldn't figure it out.
She said, a two-year-old?
Yeah. Even better.
Mother's choice.
It's just unreal, but that's the state of this movement. Now, every movement has crazies. I certainly concede that. There are a lot of them here. Woman's choice. 2 years old. What about after he graduates college? It's a woman's choice. It's a mother's choice. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send a text. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Keep those text messages coming, mostly because we got a new texting system that doesn't impact you, but it impacts me, and I can't tell when there's a new text coming in. I don't like it.
Are you allowed to say that you don't like it? We had people in this building work really hard to roll this out.
No one worked harder. Oh, shut up.
People worked really...
Sending an email. Here's how to log in. Here's your new password. Yeah, that's not working
a team.
Hard.
We put an entire team.
You know who works hard in this building?
No one.
This guy right here! Me. Because I've got another exclusive story you can only find at KTTH.com. At least for now. At some point within the coming weeks, you'll have other news outlets report on this, pretending that they are the ones who did the story. Or they'll say, there was a misplaced period there, so that's not really an exclusive story anymore. It was just riddled with errors. We've been talking about the critically low staffing situation at the Seattle Police Department for years. Obviously, we've talked about it a lot more in the last couple of years because it's gotten that much worse. In large part because of an anti-police activist community and an anti-police activist council, to the point where we have record low staffing for the Seattle Police Department. Record low. And we have yet another story of them unable to respond quickly to what became a deadly hit and run, where medics weren't allowed to treat the victim. Now, to be clear, from the offset, even though this was not known at the time, which is why this is such an important story, multiple sources told me that the victim would have died no matter how soon the police were able to arrive, that they believe that the victim died on impact. Not certain, obviously. They don't know that for certain. And we can't know that for certain as of this moment. But that's what they believe. But no one appeared to have known that at the time. And medics weren't able to get to the victim until the officers arrived to clear the scene. This has happened before. In this case, it happened on May 7th, so 2 Fridays ago. Happened in West Seattle. A teenager was driving a car accidentally. This was not intentional, was not impaired. He accidentally struck a pedestrian who was walking across the street. Now, the teenager panicked and fled. Now, we'll get into that in a second. He ends up coming back, but he flees the scene. But there were a whole bunch of witnesses at the time who reported this to 911. So they call 911. At least one of the people who called 911 said that someone had been shot on the scene. What does that mean? It means it triggers a different protocol for the Seattle Fire Department as they're sending over their firefighters, their medics. They switch over to a policy known as scenes of violence. It's a scenes of violence policy. And under that policy, the fire department can't approach the scene until police arrive to secure it. Now, the first assigned unit from the Seattle Fire Department arrived at about 10.05 p.m. That's only about 2 minutes after the calls came in. So that was a quick response. They happened to be nearby. But they were put on standby. They had to stay at a staging area waiting for police to arrive and secure the scene. But the cops didn't make it to the scene until about 10:16 in the evening. That's somewhere between 12 and 14 minutes after the witnesses said that there was a gunshot. So SPD arrives, finally. They're understaffed. This was not their fault. They secure the scene. Medics go to the victim, who ends up getting pronounced dead at the scene. Now, it turns out, no gunshot actually happened, that was a mistake. So ultimately, it was unnecessary for the Seattle Fire Department to stage before tending to that victim. Now, the teenage driver, I told you, ended up, according to police, driving home, immediately told his father what had happened. The father drives the teenager back to the scene and has been cooperating this entire time. And again, no impairment is suspected. This was purely a mistake, an accident. Now, we don't know when the victim died, but sources tell me they believe it was upon impact. But it highlights the consequences of an SPD staffing crisis. Had the victim not died on impact, he likely would have died because of delayed response time. in cases of blunt trauma, which is what this was, you have about 10 minutes to get the victim or the patient to the hospital. You've got about 10 minutes on average. Every second after that increases the chances of death. If police can't arrive on the scene quick enough, guess what? You've got an obvious problem here. Now, does this story sound familiar? It does to some of you who listen to the show, who see me on Tucker, who read my blog over at ktth.com. I covered a very similar, but even more tragic story back in November of last year. A boy notices his father collapsing, has some sort of heart issue, calls 911 multiple times. Seattle Fire arrive. But this address was flagged as having a resident who poses a threat to first responders. And so that triggered a different protocol. They had to wait for the Seattle Police Department to arrive to clear the scene. But the Seattle Fire Department was waiting there and waiting there and waiting there, along with this boy who was calling 911 begging for help. They waited until the cops arrived, unfortunately too late. That, by the way, also was an error because that address should not have been flagged. Not for the current resident, not for this father. And that boy, 13 years old, saw his dad die. And we talked to his mother because this led to a lawsuit. We talked to his mother not long ago saying he's still struggling emotionally. I feel so bad for that kid because that was avoidable. But that shows you the problems with the staffing crisis. It's not just about when you call 911 to get an officer to arrive when someone's like breaking into your home. And I don't think people realize that this impacts the fire department in a lot of cases as well. It just so happens in this case, it might not have made a difference at all. It doesn't mean it's not a serious issue that no one is addressing. No one is truly addressing this issue. We keep getting talking points about it. We got a new incentive plan that we're probably going to pass at some point in the next month. Okay, and you can put all your incentive plans together if you want. I don't know if that changes the situation. I truly don't know if that changes the situation on the ground. It's not a money issue for a lot of these cops. Some, maybe. But most of them, this isn't about the money. This isn't about an incentive bonus. This is about a lack of respect on the job. And simply giving them a bonus to sign up to be, I don't know if that does anything. But obviously, you know, calling 911 does not mean you're never going to get a response. You just know it's going to be a slow response. There have been people who call 911 to report a car that's being broken into, where they're sometimes waiting hours and hours and hours. Some of them just give up and go online to report it if they can find the site. There was a point where I was told it was down. I don't know. But yet something that happened over the weekend. If you went to see Rez at if your kids went to see Rez at WAMU Theater, who I'm told is a DJ of some kind. Is he a DJ? He looks like a DJ.
Not a clue.
I've never heard of this person. But no. You're playing WAMU Theater. You've got to be big. So he's so big and hip that even Peyton doesn't know who it is.
Exactly. I'm becoming to the point of one of the olds that doesn't know all the young hipsters.
You're getting to that point. What are you, 24? 26. You're getting to that point. Look him up. I'm pretty sure based on the poster for the ad, for the event. He's a
Canadian DJ.
There you go. Yeah, he's Canadian, so he's like a polite DJ. Please, everyone, put your hands up in the air as I play this music.
She.
She? It's not a she.
That R-E-Z-Z?
Then the photo was of a dude, and I don't care what you say.
Known by her stage name as Rez, is a Canadian DJ and record producer from Niagara Falls.
Oh, even worse.
She's 27.
A lady DJ from Canada? Ew. I don't care. So she's doing her event. DJ Rez, and people who left and went back to their parking lot. This is the lot across the street from Lumen Field, so it's the closest parking lot. And I don't know if it's actually operated by Lumen Field. I don't know.
That one on Occidental?
Yeah.
I don't think it is, no.
So they cross over, and this is not boding well for the security there, but 12 cars had been broken into. 12 cars were broken into. One of the victims is Corey. He spoke with Cairo 7 TV.
And we heard people saying, oh, is your window broken? Is your window broken? And then as we came, we realized it was pretty much every single car.
every single car, except, of course, obviously it wasn't every single car, except for the people who said, are your windows broken, which is a little bit of a clue as to their car having been broken into. He says from his vehicle, he actually kind of got lucky where nothing was stolen. I guess he followed the advice that cops give. That's kind of useless, if I'm being honest. Don't keep anything of value in your car. Nothing of value whatsoever. And so he had nothing of value, except to him. And those are his treasures. But the degenerates didn't want to steal his treasures. So now he's going to have to pay $200 to $300 to repair the window.
It had to have been multiple people to go through a parking lot this quickly. It definitely was organized. I don't know if they watch show or game, you know, schedules to coordinate something like that to happen on a Friday night.
Yeah, why don't you leave the detective work to the real detectives, or at least the fake detectives? So I can certainly foresee one person or a group of people doing this because they know that police staffing is low. It is not a secret. It's not a secret. They know because they realize that crimes are happening and no one's responding. So this is going to continue to happen. It's not just the hardcore, serious, life-ending issues that we talk about. It's also not being able to get someone to respond to a car that's actively being broken into. Now, in this case, I haven't seen any reporting that said 911 was called. But the reason why they feel so empowered to do this is because they know that the staffing is such an issue. They know the staffing is an issue. So if you want to read my story, if you want to help spread the word, go to KTTH.com or text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link to the blog. Text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rantz. Like I'd ever go to an Applebee's. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho. I do like that song.
I can't believe that you even know what an Applebee's is.
I've heard of it only enough so I can mock people who go to it. With all due respect, I'm a snob.
They have such good appetizers.
I'm sure. And there's probably 40,000 calories per bite.
Wonton tacos. Love those things.
You can't have a wonton taco. Cultural appropriation.
They make a wonton taco.
Yeah, that's no such thing as a wonton taco. It's a taco or it's a wonton.
And
you can't have a wonton taco. A wonton itself is a taco that is completely closed off, which makes it the wonton.
No, but it's like a wonton taco.
Are there wontons in the taco?
No, the shell is a wonton. Like they fry a wonton in the shape of a taco shell, stuff it with like sliced cabbage and some sort of...
So it's just an open wonton.
Some sort of dressed chicken. Like it's got a nice little Asian sauce on it. Very
good.
Yeah,
I love how they'll just call things Asian sauce.
I can do that. I know. You know.
What is the sauce? It's an Asian sauce.
It's an Asian sauce.
Yeah, but what is the sauce? It's Asian. No, what kind of, is it fish sauce? Like what?
No.
What is it? Teriyaki? It's Asian.
It's somewhere in the ballpark.
But the thing is, we all know
of...
what Asian sauce is. But it's not a thing. It's like, here's a Jewish sauce. What is that?
Yeah, I'd have no clue how to handle that.
Although, if I said, here's a Jewish soup, what would you say? Matzah. Matzah ball.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Well, not a good person. Okay, I'm doing that. I had the dumbest conversation, at least in my head, with a barista over the weekend.
Dumber than the wonton conversation that we just had?
Oh, my God, so much dumber. I order a cup of coffee to go, okay? It's a very hot cup of coffee because it's hot coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I got my Americano, which is what I usually get when I don't know whether or not they do a good drip or a pour over, whatever it is. Go with the Americano. It's hard to screw up an Americano, although go to Starbucks and they'll prove you wrong each and every time.
It's also hard to screw up a cold brew, and yet the Tri-Cities
did
that to you.
Yeah, they did that. Well, one place in, where was I?
Tri-Cities. Pasco.
Pasco.
Or Richland.
No, I was in Pasco. I was in Pasco. They screwed up. So I get the cup of coffee. Filled all the way to the top because they're all idiots. I don't understand why you can't give me a little bit of room. Not because I put anything in it, I don't, but because I don't want it to spill. Because I'm like a normal human being.
Chip company gives you room. Everybody complains. Coffee company gives you no room. You still complain.
I want a little bit of room to compensate for walking with it. That's all.
Understand.
Okay. Apparently it wasn't understandable because the guy said to me as he was giving me the cup of coffee, would you like a cover? And I looked at him for a second in judgment. And in my head, I had already had a long conversation, but it only maybe a second went by. Do I want a cover for this scalding hot cup of coffee that you filled all the way to the top? Yes, I would. I would like a cover. You stupid idiot. What do you mean, would I like a cover? Why wouldn't I want a cover? Do you think I have the intent of walking and getting my hand scalded by the coffee? Why would I not want to? How about this, sir? Would you like a cup for your coffee? Well, yes, I would. I would. Please don't just funnel it into my mouth. What do you mean, do I want? What in the world is wrong with people? In what circumstance would someone not want a cover to their coffee? In what circumstance? It's a to-go cup. Did I give any indication that I wanted to stay? No, because guess what? You have reusable cups, coffee cups, for people who stay there. So why would you ask me that? I simply said, yes, please. But in my head, I was having all of those conversations in my head. And then I just started to get mad. And then in my head, I kept going, why did I even respond politely? Why did I put him in his place so he would stop making that stupid question come up every... Yes, the default should be put... How about this? Because everyone wants a cover, except for maybe 1% of the population. Let them say, actually, sir, I'm going against the grain and I do not want a cover. You can hang on to that one. Thank you.
Could it have been a part of the new the single-use law that came
It does not cover the covers of... It covers...
Straws?
Straws and utensils.
And lids.
Lids?
Lids.
To hot coffee.
Sorry, this does say cold cup lids, but lids still, nonetheless.
And it was a hot cup of coffee. And by the way, even if it was cold, yes, sir, I would. You know why? Because I don't want it to spill. Because I don't want to spill this beverage that I just purchased. That's why. Now, in that case, it's not necessarily his fault if he's going by the letter of the law, which is a stupid law.
Very stupid.
That stupid people pass and stupid people follow. In fact, I'm not going back there again.
Really?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm never going back there again.
So you had that big, long conversation in your head. Have you got checked out for schizophrenia yet?
No, I'm aware that I'm having a conversation. Okay. It's not talking back. There's not a voice that says, relax, Jason. Although my therapist says the voice in my head should say, relax, Jason.
Hey, you could use that, actually.
God. And by the way, I'm on this. Can we not, for the love of God, baristas, don't say what's a good name for the order. Just ask my name. Just ask my name. Or remember who I am because there's only two other people in the place. But don't say what's a good name. What do you mean what's a good name?
I get fake names every time I go.
It just drives me nuts. What's a good name? I don't have a good name. Just go with Jason. How about that? Gosh. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send a text.